Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report, actually episode number 55. Boy, we're getting up there. And today's show is for June 7th, 2023, and the show, as usual, is sponsored by TLBTalk.com. I'm your host, Roger Landry, and the show is co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring in a moment or two here. Allow me to get through the weekly intro. The title for today's show is Discussing the Reality of Today. Yeah, that's a pretty broad and general topic or title, but you'll understand why. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. This show airs weekly on Shake and Wake Radio, our thanks to Annie, who I have been friends with for many years, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlow Radio. Do me a favor if you can. Yes, I say this every week, but it's important enough to mention each week. And that is, if you wish to support and keep these phenomenal platforms online, one of the best things you can do, other than the occasional donation that you send in, is try and figure out what you donate over the course of a month divided by 12. And the next time you go in there, put that number in, whether it's $10, $15, $7, whatever, and hit make this a monthly reoccurring donation. What you've just done is given each one of these platforms a little bit more security. They know what they're going to have coming in, or your donation each month, and they can add that to what they can count on to give you bigger, badder, better, faster. So the key to getting a little bit more security to these platforms is not necessarily giving them more, although I strongly suggest you do that for each and every one of them, but it's also giving the security of knowing they're going to have a steady income. So clicking that little button that says make this a reoccurring donation doesn't mean you have to spend more. It just means that you can give them a little bit more peace of mind, which ends up by giving you a better station to listen to. Okay, Stephen, tell me where I got that wrong.
No, everybody needs help. Everybody needs funding, especially the stations and yes. Annie.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, we're going to be doing a little bit more for Annie, but we'll be talking about that probably next week. Okay, our mission is to keep you armed with the vital truth, as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. That, of course, being the sponsor of this show, TLBTalk.com. Even if you just go there to form a group and bring your friends so that you can discuss the things that need to be discussed and come to the decisions or the, I don't know, come to the results that you know aren't being provided to you, then this platform has succeeded. TLBTalk.com is a social media platform that allows you to say the things that others don't wish you to say. And it's not because it's wrong to say it. It's because it doesn't reflect good on them. As a matter of fact, it goes a whole lot deeper than that, but we'll leave it right there. Some of the information put out on every show I do, every show Steve does with me, is made available via an article or a video that I come across over the course of the week, something that sparks me. If this is a case, a link to these references is always included in tomorrow's show article published on the LibertyBeacon.com by noon central. Yes, that's every Thursday, and it includes active links to anything we use to put the show together. All right, let's get down to business here, okay? This is what I tell you each week. These are all important issues, but I know you came here to listen to a topic. Again, the title of the show, Discussing the Reality of Today. For today's show, we're going to do, I don't know, we're going to present a slightly different approach to the show. Steve and I have each got four questions to present to each other to spark what could be a very lively and revealing conversation. And it will easily exceed all of the words Steve has spoken in all of the other episodes combined. Today we will discuss some of what is bothering each of us. Some worries, some fears, and some expectations. So, Stephen, why don't you step up for your first question to me, and we'll get this ball rolling.
Okay.
All right. First off, what do you think of this type of a forum every once in a while whereby we have this type of discussion? Because I think these discussions are not only valuable, but they're necessary.
Yes, they are. You know, you do make me feel wanted and needed, but these are okay. These will be okay because I haven't done as many interviews as you have, but I do enjoy them. So I do like taking questions myself.
Yes, and you did come up with four questions, and I came up with four questions. So let's let people understand what questions we came up with. So your first question to me is,
has the U.S. military and security been compromised by Biden's relationship with China?
Well, now, for anybody out there who thinks that that's a rather blatant question and why does it have any spot at all when you're talking about reality, all you have to do is look at what's going on. There have been so many actions, small actions, administrative actions that have been taken to relieve the pressure that Trump had put on, and this has nothing to do with Trump. This is what the president before Biden had done to put pressure on China in order to treat the United States businesses fairly, whether it came to whether it was people who were manufacturing the products, whether it was – it didn't matter. Slave labor, you name it, okay? The United States had a relationship with China that wasn't very friendly in the last presidential term. It wasn't very friendly at all, but it was necessary in order for fair competition. Now, all of a sudden, we find that a lot of these have just been basically taken off the books. Not only that, but we have a president who has literally just about shut the oil spigot off, just about, not totally, but has severely restricted the oil flow into the U.S. economy, except that he did find, I don't know how many millions, I think it might have been as much as 2 million barrels of oil to ship over to China to a gentleman that they did business with who has direct ties right into the Chinese Communist Party. Where did that oil come from? That oil came from the Strategic Oil Reserve, which is there solely for the purpose of serving American citizens in an emergency. So if we have a major catastrophe and we need oil and all of a sudden we run out about 2 million barrels shy of what we need to keep the American public at least at a minimum level of subsistence, but that 2 million barrels went to China. I don't know of any other president that would have done that. I don't know of any other president that would have gone and wiped all of these restrictions off the books on China. I don't know of any other president that would have allowed a spy balloon to fly all the way across the United States and across and over multiple extremely, okay? We're talking about bases that nobody should have images of and didn't knock it out of the sky until it got into the Atlantic Ocean. For fear it would hurt someone, the path this balloon took, it could have been knocked down out of the sky so many times with the possibilities of hitting anybody being nearly zero. What we are looking at is treatment to our biggest rival and possible enemy if war breaks out, and we have a president that is on one knee kowtowing to them in every way, shape, or form. I don't know, Stephen, have I got this wrong?
No, probably not. But, I just hearkened back to the middle of the 19th century, where Western interest, Western banking interest, set up communism in both Russia and China. The latter part of the 19th century, early part of the 20th century, and the middle of the 20th century. So, 1968, Nixon sent Kissinger into China to open up relations. What's anyone who doesn't have three brain cells that rub together, what makes them think that they're not controlled, both Russia and China, and North Korea for that fact?
They're all controlled. There isn't a nation on this planet that isn't controlled. Why? Because if you take a look behind the scenes and you take a look at what the elites actually own and control on this planet, then any government who pushes back against them is going to suffer probably well beyond what they would wish to have their people realize. So they're going to kowtow. They are going to do the things they need to do in order to, I don't know, piss off the elites as little as possible. We're talking about an elitist caste that holds more power over humanity today than anything in the history of this planet. The problem here is they can't control 8.5 billion people. So in order for them to step up and take the place that's rightfully theirs and that they have all of the capacity to do, the first two things need to happen. Gee, how many times have I said this, Stephen? You need to collapse local governance and you need to seriously cut back on the global population. They're both in play as we speak.
Yes, that brings up another statement. I think I said it. I don't know if I said it to you, but I've said it on my show. The corruption is not at the federal level. It's at the local level because the feds know that they can't do anything without local help, local people.
I'm not so sure that I would agree that it's at the local level as much as I would agree that it's at the commercial level, which is best represented at the local level. I do think that the money in just about any area of this country talks. I do. And it talks the loudest in areas where the constituency is totally ignorant of what's going on around them, or they don't seem to care. Or they'd rather just live life and not worry about what's going on in the rest of the world. So I think that, well, hell, this is your question. I'm looking today at a world that is so buried under distraction that the real facts would shock the hell out of most of them.
Sure, it would. Absolutely.
Which is why we're doing something like this. Okay, have I satisfied your first question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so why don't I slip one in your direction? How about, I don't know. Let me think for a second here. Okay, I've got it. When and what were the conditions under which someone like you, who has had your fair share of issues over the course of your life, all of a sudden become awake and aware? What triggered that? Why are you the person you are today instead of the ignorant, blissful, happy person you could have been?
Well, I did drink the red Kool-Aid for 44 years.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. I drank it and enjoyed the red Kool-Aid. But there was some thing. I don't know what it was. You call it the universe, God or whatever. Something got into my pants and itched me to go back into an education, higher education, into college. And I did. I first went into the IT field. And within the first 2 weeks, I realized that it wasn't going to be about computer programming or website design, or whatever it was about coding, Linux coding. And I realized I was in over my head. I had been listening to Alex Jones for a couple of months because I got the, it was in February of 2000, I'm sorry, 2009. I was listening to Alex Jones and I had switched majors. I'd went into mass communications, journalism, effectively. And I'm sitting here listening to Alex Jones talk about two political pundits bickering back and forth. And he said that was a straw man attack. And the class, one of the two classes I was in was called Critical Thinking Class, CRT 205. And I'm sitting here reading my syllabus, and up pops this word. Alex Jones says straw man attack. And he says everybody can go to YouTube and search up this term, whatever he said it was. And sure enough, it was there, a straw man attack, where somebody draws attention away from your issue or whatever and attacks your credibility.
Yes.
And it occurred to me right then and there, within 3 seconds, I said, wow, this is the practical application for rhetorical devices in media, in mainstream media, in science, in government, in advertising.
So that was it, that one word.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense. It's just that for most people, you got to beat it into them for about 5 years straight before they actually catch on. But you get one word, and all of a sudden you, okay, here we go. And I like that. I do.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was virtually right in my face on YouTube,
there. I understand it. And again, that's part of what happened to me, because you got to understand, and you know this, I worked for the military-industrial complex for most of my adult life. So when I got done and I woke up and I looked back, I went, oh, did I really do that? Oh, was I really doing that? And so many things all of a sudden became, I don't know,
you can
why did I do these things?
Well, you can also deconstruct their arguments too.
Yeah. Oh, no, that I wouldn't have. Look, if I'm going to come into this, like you just said, if I'm going to come into this cold turkey the way I did, having the type of background I did was priceless. It really was. But now I'm still doing the penance for it.
Right.
Are you ready? Right. So are you done, or would you like to add some more about how you got awakened?
No, that's it. I mean, well, I did say to myself right then and there, just literally 3 seconds after I figured out what the whole world was about, I said to myself, wow, they let the wrong man in college. Because I knew I had to do something about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and you have been ever since. And the thing of it is, we all accomplish educating others in our own fashion. And sometimes it's very creative and sometimes it's pretty stupid. But anyway, all right. So why don't you throw another one at me?
Okay. The Southern open border being open and available to all and anyone, does that constitute a treasonous act by Biden? And what constitutes invasion?
Okay, look, that's a really great question. And I think I've probably said this on several of the shows that I've done on Shake and Wake. But stop to consider what a president swears to when he's getting sworn into office in front of not only all of the American people, but the entire world. Okay, what does he say? One of the things he says is that he will protect you and me from all enemies, both foreign and domestic, right? Okay, everybody knows that, right? Okay, so not doing so and intentionally not doing so, how does that border on treason? Well, let me explain something to y'all, okay? If you go to the Liberty Beacon, you'll find an article right now talking about they just caught another 16 individuals in the last few days crossing the border on the terrorist watch list, the FBI's terrorist watch list, which isn't even the biggest watch list out there. Because the FBI is concerned about what goes on in the United States. There are watch lists that cover the entire planet and are huge. But yet we've got 16, okay, that came across the border and got caught in the last couple of weeks that are on a terrorist watch list. Now, hold on a second. So there were 16. What are they going to do? So far, for the fiscal year 2023, they have caught about 100 of them. And how many last year and how many the year before? And let me explain something else to you, okay? Those are the ones that got caught. There are millions of people, this is not a joke, do your research, who have crossed that border and never been stopped. How many of them are terrorists being planted in this country? If you take maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred a year so far since Joe Bob's been in office, the ones that they have caught are probably approaching 500 or 600. How many didn't they catch? Why are things blowing up out of nowhere? Why are farms being destroyed? Why are food processing plants being destroyed? Why are? We are looking at a president who knows for a fact, because the administration knows all of this, that there are hundreds of terrorists coming across our southern border on a continuous basis and a massive uptick since Joe Bob got into the White House. So if you're the president of the United States and you tell me that you swear on a Bible that you're going to protect me from what? Enemies of the country, both foreign and domestic, but I am intentionally stopping anybody from stopping. How many terrorists are coming into this country that we'll never know about until they decide to get up and do the job they were sent here to do? I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. There have been 100 so far this fiscal year, and it ain't over. And this is all known. Last year, well over 100. The year before, close to 200. All on Joe Bob's watch. What has he done to stop any of this? Nothing. So when you swear to God that you will protect the American people from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and you pull this crap, tell me why it's not considered treason. It should be. It actually is within the definition of treason. And what's an invasion? You invade a country like Poland during World War II. You're talking about a couple hundred thousand soldiers at the most in massive armies moving across the land. How many illegals have come in the country since Joe Bob took over? How many millions? How many millions that we know of, and how many millions that we don't know of? So if an invasion can be carried out by an army of 100,000 troops, and we've had, what, 15, 20, 30 million come across the southern border, why don't you define what the hell an invasion is to me? Because if you don't call that an invasion, you're a moron. Got a little carried away there, Steve.
I noticed that.
Yeah, well, you asked me the right question, so you got the right answer.
Uh-huh.
Do you disagree with that?
No, not really. I mean, if there wasn't, you know, free aid, free money, free board,
yes,
this, that, and the other thing, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But, you know, they are blatantly told that
yes,
they're not going to get anything in their country. What? Doesn't matter whether it's Mexico or Guatemala, and even
yes,
even Chinese are coming in.
Oh yeah, Taiwanese are coming in.
North
Chinese
Koreans
are coming in. South Africans are coming in.
North
They're
Koreans,
coming in
yeah,
from, I think it's 118 countries so far.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, when the money is involved and it's tax money, that's where the yep, problem comes in.
I agree. I totally agree, which is why I just got done telling everybody that by not only not stymieing this and protecting us from it, it's being intentionally exacerbated, that you are committing treason against we the people, and you are literally flipping the bird at us for a promise you made, you swore to God to, when you got sworn into the presidency of the United States. You have literally laughed in our face after promising to protect us from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and doing exactly the opposite. Got that wrong?
No, but I do want to point out that they don't swear an oath to us. They swear an oath to the corporation.
They swear an oath to D.C., which is the corporation. Yes,
yeah,
they do. Because, again, when Steve and I start poking around, Steve and I both understand that the United States hasn't been a country for a very long time. It has been a corporation, and that the entire governance of we the people is not by us, but by the 12 square miles of Washington, D.C., set down during the Act of 1871. So if you stop to consider all of this, does that mean we have to stop pushing to get America recognized again, that we have to stop pushing to make America whole again? No, it doesn't. But all of you out there need to understand that the biggest part of this whole game here is the hide and seek of the fact that the United States is a wholly owned corporation. No matter how much that pisses you off, no matter how much you go, oh, my God, no matter how much you say he's lying, I'm not. Do I believe that we should give up trying to, repopulate, all of the promises of our original constitutional republic? No, that's exactly what we need to be doing. But at the same time, realize where you're at, right, Steve? If you don't know where you're at, it's kind of tough to figure out where you need to go.
Indeed. Absolutely is.
Yeah, I want your opinion on that. There are far too many people out there today who feel that they're sending us in the right direction, and it is all misdirection.
Well, like I said, I drank the red Kool-Aid for 44 years, and I believed I knew the truth until I didn't.
Okay, you just told everybody my life story. You got to get out of my life. But that's it. I mean, I woke up in the morning. I was, in Holy Loch, Scotland, working on a nuclear submarine for the, for the NATO powers, whatever. This is what I did for over 20 years, and I worked on those in the Navy for another 8 years. So we're talking 30 years. I played this war game, and I perpetuated it. Do I believe the United States needs to have a strong military in order to protect us? Yes. Do I believe that the United States needs to have a military presence in 192 out of 196 countries on the planet, either, listen to me, either overtly or covertly? Then you realize that everything I had been doing was to perpetuate something I no longer believed in.
Yep. How many bases do we have surrounding Russia?
Well, we got a few in Ukraine, don't we? I think we do.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I think Ukraine is the base. Yeah.
Well, we didn't get through the first four questions or anything, but the break
We got through the first three.
Yeah, the break is almost here.
Well, let's do the break, and then we'll fire up the other five questions.
Okay. Be right back, Steve. In 1 minute, folks.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, so we've gotten through a couple of really good questions, and the next question is for me to ask Steve, okay? Why do you think they are justified, or they believe they are justified, in everything that they do? And you know who I mean by they, so why don't you explain that as well, Steve?
Yes, well, they is the power structure, the 10 square miles of Washington, D.C.,
The elite. God,
I hate
that word.
The cabal.
There you go.
They are justified. They don't believe they're justified. They are justified because, well, just as before the break, they don't swear an oath to the American people or the 50 American states. They swear an oath to the sovereign land of Washington, D.C. And if you accept their authority, you accept what they can do to us.
It's not only if you accept, if you have tolerance of, because there have been a lot of things that have been voted on and accepted. And once they have been accepted, what we find out is, like, the Patriot Act wasn't much about patriots. Okay. And I could go on and on. What you find out is that what you voted for isn't exactly what you were told it was. Then at that point, there have been, okay, and there may continue to be, some people who rise up and say, this can't be, this isn't. So if you accept and move on, then I totally agree with you. But there are times when you are challenged. There are.
Yep. Another spinoff question. Do you consider yourself a minor?
A miner?
Yes.
Well, first off, I haven't worked in a coal mine ever in my life. and second off, I'll be 69 in August, so that means that I'm definitely over 18. So unless I'm totally missing something, which I'm sure you're going to fill in the blank here, no, I'm not a miner. Now, if you're asking if I am considered to be a minor infraction or a minor impediment or just a minor issue by those who call themselves the elites, I would say hell yes.
No, none of the above.
Okay, all right.
What I'm getting to is something is called an estate of minor.
You have to
claim your state of minor to become a man or a woman. That's why they use the words persons. They use the words citizens. They use the words residents. Unless you are a state of minor, you have claimed your estate of minor. You are a minor, and you can be controlled. You can be ruled.
Oh, I have a question. I think that something we discussed the other day, you may be asking me about today, that comes right down that alley. And if you do, I'm going to hit that with about, I don't know, 10 megatons of force, because that, it to me, is one of the biggest issues we have.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, look, if this is the only reason, okay, that you feel that they feel that they are justified to do what they do, then it becomes a matter of, do you think they are justified? The answer is, they're justified in the actions. Because are they justified in treating the American people that way? Probably not, considering that everything you and I have been talking about, the Act of 1871 and all of the stuff around it, is not taught in our schools. It's not taught even in our religious schools. It's not taught in our colleges. In other words, there's a vast majority of people out there that are intentionally isolated from this type of information, because it's not what they usually tread upon.
Let me go in a different direction.
Sure.
There was I had him on the show 9 years ago, 2014. His name was Alfred Adask. Did I ever tell you this story?
I think so, but the audience hasn't.
What he was in some legal trouble in his community. He was being fined $25,000 a day. And, of course, he couldn't afford to pay a $25,000 fine a day, and he couldn't hire a lawyer. He couldn't even hardly hire a lawyer. But what he did his own research, and it turns out they write these, in so-called quotations, laws. They have writing to where they refer to us as animals. Humans equal animals in their eyes. Humans equal cattle in their eyes. Humans are also referred to as monsters in their own laws. And I keep going back, if you accept their authority, you have to accept them.
And everything that's an absolute fact. It is. Yeah. I don't know why that should shock or surprise anybody.
Yeah.
No. And the thing of it is...
There's also somebody that said, if you exude a powerful look or a powerful appearance, people will give you that power or give you power.
It's called via assumption.
Yes.
And
yes.
It is. And I don't know how many of you have heard this, but I would like to say that I don't do anything by assumption. I don't assume anything. Okay. If I cannot prove it, then I'm going to go off on a totally different direction. But to me, the word assume, and you've all heard this, break it down.
Yeah,
it's about making a double S out of you and me.
Yep.
And that's exactly the way it breaks down. And it is a truism.
Yeah, I got taught that little phrase as a little boy.
Yeah, me too. I come from a family of 7 kids. My sister was the oldest. She was the first. And I was the middle child. There were 3 younger than me and 3 older than me. I was too old to get away with what the younger kids got away with and too young to be able to do what the older kids could do. What I was good for was being the end of the hand-me-down line, because by the time it got to me and I wore it, it was usually a rag and nobody else could wear it. So, yes, do I understand? Yeah, I do.
I think another question is in order.
Okay. Yeah, and it's your turn.
What remains the biggest issue still unfolding in front of us today, globally?
And this is something that nobody wants to hear. And it's not the worst of the questions that will probably come in my direction today, but it is a very heavy-handed question. What is the thing that's going on globally today that you are being forced away from? And I don't mean physically. I mean there are so many catastrophes going on this planet today, all simultaneously. It's actually insane. If you take a look at what's going on in America alone, we have never had this number of serious national affecting disasters as we have all happening simultaneously today. But why? Because most of these didn't have to happen or could be alleviated quite quickly if attention was paid to them, like the border, like, I don't know, oil, like all of these are easily resolved. But they are attracting your attention. They're doing exactly what they are intended to do. They're keeping you from looking at what counts the most. And that was the question that was just asked to me. What is it that counts the most? With what could be, and I can't nail this down for a fact, but with what could be, I've been told, as many as 6 billion people on this planet have already been vaccinated with the mRNA jab. They have. What we know right now is that unexpected, unexplained deaths are rising at a rate like we have never seen before. Cancer's exploding off the freaking charts. Not only that, sterility is rising at a rate that has researchers freaking out. This is what's happening. The increased amount of deaths, and everybody says, well, how can you blame that on the vaccine? And I tell them, don't blame it on the vaccine. I'm not telling you to do that. What I am telling you to do is this. Find a well-vaccinated country like Israel. Look and see how many people were dying on average 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and take the exact same numbers today. And what is the only thing, because you're going to find the same results no matter where you pick on the planet, okay? What is the only thing that has changed in that three-year period? That would be the COVID-19 vaccines. So what you are looking at today is an increasing number of people dying off across the planet, an increasing number of people being damaged for life. What we are talking about is that natural births, and I mean, you know, without, you know, drugs or whatever, natural or any type of births actually right now have fallen through the floor. Researchers are saying people are not having babies or they can't have babies. When you tell me that the spike protein 6 hours after your shot is centered in organs like the liver, listen to me, the testes and the ovaries. And that spike protein does what? You ain't having babies. How many people have been vaccinated? It's estimated it could be as many as 6 billion, but let's say it's only 5 billion. How many of them can't have babies? How many of them are going to suffer and die from over 1,200 known deadly or dangerous side effects? Any other vaccine never would have been approved with over 100, never mind 1,200. What we are looking at right now is a massive push to keep you from looking at the vaccine fallout globally. It's not pretty, people. And I'm going to tell you something else right now. It's already been proven by researchers that if you're fully vaccinated, your immune system is all but gone, which means going forward, something's going to kill you that shouldn't have, but it won't be the vaccine. The only thing the vaccine can be blamed for is totally slaughtering your immune system that allowed this thing to come in and kill you. This is the biggest thing that's going on that nobody's talking about. Why? Because they have choreographed more disasters going off around the globe. And I believe 90% of this is to hide reality. Humanity may be at the beginnings of a massive die-off.
Two questions.
Sure.
Number one, I wonder what Jamie Foxx is saying to his family or his family is saying to him.
Yeah.
And number two, I wonder how many bombs they can create with 30 tons of ammonium nitrate and diesel fuel.
And why would you ask that one?
Because that's what was stolen, was about a month ago or so?
Yeah.
30 tons of ammonium nitrate.
Yes. And I just need, I needed for people to understand why you had made that statement, because most people were probably going, huh?
Another distraction.
Yes, exactly. And the distractions are piling up and they're quite successful. But yet everybody keeps telling me, well, how can you prove this? More people are dying. And I tell them the same thing. You go to any major population center that is a well-vaccinated population center, whether it's New York City, whether it's Jerusalem, it doesn't matter. What you're going to find out is that prior to the release of the COVID vaccines and 3 years after the release of the COVID vaccines, the amount of unexplained or just the amount of deaths has risen to the point where people are freaking out. That's not going to get better. That's going to get worse.
Yeah, I was just explaining to somebody in the chat who Jamie Foxx was.
Oh, okay.
And what his situation is. Yeah.
Yeah, and And I hear it's pretty dire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's fully vaccinated.
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right. Well, I got to fire one at you because we've only got 15 minutes left. Okay. So here's one that just gives you an open door to say anything you want. And I kind of like what you've been saying today. So let's give you one of those. How much do you believe in what's actually happening?
Very, very little. And I'll explain that because, well.
That's me clapping.
Yeah. The AI technology has been out for a lot longer than what they are letting us know. Holographic technology is somewhat astonishing to see with your own eyes and make you believe what something isn't there. The technology, it's mostly AI, but the face morphing technology. I've seen videos of just an ordinary man or a woman. They have them in front of a camera, and they would have George Bush, and their facial expressions would be exactly the same. They can take, I think it's, well, 10 years ago, it was 15 minutes of somebody's speaking, somebody's speech patterns. Yep. And they could mimic anything and everything that they wanted just from AI technology. They could make George Bush, they could make a video of him murdering 50 children right in front of you and make you believe it.
Yep. No, I totally agree with that. I got to remember, I worked in technology my entire life. Something I've told a lot of people, and people believe this at this point because you know enough people who did the type of things that I did for a living. And that is, I saw technology because my job was technology, but it was military technology. I saw things, and I haven't worked for Raytheon since 2000, the year 2000. Okay, yeah, I'm 69, remember? So what I saw, and you know, look, let me ask you a question, Steve, okay? Mm-hmm. If all of this, okay, if you came in from a different planet tomorrow and you didn't know any of this, and I sat you down and we went through just what you and I have discussed today, would you think that all of humanity was freaking insane?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, I'm at the point right now where the questions we're asking and what we're actually discussing here is vital.
Yeah.
But every time you and I answer a question, it's like, are we really talking about this?
Yeah, I mean,
because we
sometimes I think I'm the only adult in the world.
Yeah, I have that thought all the time. But I won't even go there.
I mean,
let me get another question into that we can get these done. All right. And then you can throw the last one at me. What will it take to change things? Oh, my God, we don't have that much time left in the show, but go ahead.
I think, well, this last 3 years has put a big damper on that because there are people still wearing masks out there. I went to a doctor's appointment yesterday. Actually, I went in to talk to somebody at the doctor, but the sign on the front door said masks are masks are optional now.
Oh, optional now.
Optional now, yes.
Okay.
Not mandatory. But still,
I
see people.
I went to Wally World yesterday, and I saw at least a half a dozen people wearing masks.
I see people driving with them on.
Yep.
I see people in stores still having them on, walking down the street, whatever the case is.
I saw a woman riding down the street on a motorcycle with a mask on. What?
Yep.
Are you kidding me? One of these days we'll do a show about masks and tell everybody that they are not only good for you in any way, shape, or form, that they don't do what they're telling you they do at all, and that they are, in fact, more dangerous than they are helpful to you. One quick hint. You take what is supposed to be a coronavirus and you drop it. Under it, you've got a mask which has pores in it. Mm-hmm. By the time that virus hits that mask and goes through a pore, it's the equivalent of a BB going through a hula hoop.
It doesn't even hit it, yes.
It's equivalent of a BB going through a freaking hula hoop.
I had to bite my tongue about a month back because I went and seen my cardiologist. And he made a snide remark. And something about, well, last year I did a video conference with him, and it was a virtual doctor's visit. And he made the snide remark as something about, well, I'm glad you're able to come in today because last time you didn't want to wear a mask. And I had to I nearly bit my tongue off, bit my lip off from not having to just go off on him.
All right. Look, we are down to the last 10 minutes, and I'd like to do a wrap up. So why don't you throw the last question that you're going to throw at me? And this one is the one that really gets to me the most.
Okay, Mr. George Orwell, are you gushing with pride that now that our children can control us?
well, and it's not a joke. No, chuckle was fine. No, the chuckle was fine. It was well placed. But I follow that up with, this is not a joke because of the severity of it. If you wish, and talk to Orwell because he even wrote about this in several of his short stories. Yep. if you really want to, I don't know, divide up a nation, one of the first things you must do is divide up the family unit, okay? You must take the authority of the parents away. This causes such chaos in the base of that society that they are more willing to do things or are more willing not to notice things that are happening. What am I talking about when I say, or when Stephen says, now all of a sudden your children are running your life. They're in charge of you. I'm not joking. In Washington, a law got passed by their House and I believe by their Senate, which states that if a child wishes a child may leave your home, even a minor child, especially a minor child, go to specific regional facilities that are set up for them. And if the parents try to get them back, they will not be able to. Now, if you stop and consider what I just said, okay, a kid comes home from school, and this kid is a little bit on the rebellious side, but his teacher spent the entire day, or at least an hour or two of the day, explaining to these kids how if you want to be a girl and your parents don't let you, you need to let us know. If you want to be a boy and your parents won't let you, you need to let us know. And things along this line. And showing them how much fun it is to be transgender and how much fun. And kids at this age are extremely malleable. They see something fun. They see that tranny who came in all dressed up in rainbow colors, making jokes and making everybody laugh. And I want to do that. So they go home and they look at their parents and they say, I want to do this. And the parents say no. And when you're 18 years old and you've got your mind around you and you've had a little bit more experience, and if that's what you still want to do, that'll be a decision you can make. But right now, you're going to be what you are while you're still a kid. This kid goes to school the next day and tells the teacher or the guidance counselor, the next thing you know, this child no longer lives at home. But I'm going to take that to the next level because that has been in existence for a little while. In Washington now, if a kid comes home, looks at mom who is angry and says, and what are you mad about? And mom says, you were supposed to take the trash out. I even reminded you this morning before you went to school. You didn't take the trash out. Now it's going to be here for another week. You are not going to use the internet, nor will you have TV for the entire weekend. This kid looks at his mother or her mother and says, you know what? Don't count on me for dinner. I'm out of here. And that kid walks out the door, and unless the parent physically restrains this child, which will get that parent in even more trouble, this child ends up in that facility. Now, if you want your child to come home, you must call and literally beg your child to come home. And if your child is, I don't know, even half smart, this child is going to use this as a bargaining chip. I'll come home, but I don't want you hollering at me if I ever take the garbage out again. And if the mother or the father talking to them says, well, you know what, I don't think that's going to work, then the kid just freaking hangs up on them. Who's in control now? When the state takes your children and puts them in control of you, and the state in control of them, you're halfway to destroying a society. Where have I got that wrong, Steve? And why do you think this pisses me off so much?
Because it's truth, and it's right in the Communist Manifesto.
Yep.
And it's also in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals.
It's everywhere it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is, as far as I'm concerned, when you destroy the family unit, you have destroyed a society.
Yes.
And if you tell my children that they should get whatever they want, and if they don't, there's a place for them to go where their parents can get on their hands and knees and beg them to come home. This is the country you live in today, people. If you think I'm kidding, you better get off your butt.
Took us.
And do some freaking, yeah, took us. There you go. And do some freaking homework, because your kids are now in charge of you.
Yep. Last question coming up here.
The state put them there. Okay, go ahead.
Last question here, huh?
Oh, you got a question? You got one more?
Yeah, I have one more.
You got a question?
No, you have a question.
Go ahead.
I say you have a question.
I asked you what makes you aware, okay? I asked you about justification. I asked you why you believed it was happening, and I asked you if we could change things around. That's four questions.
Oh, okay. Well, sure, we can change things around, but it's going to be at the local level. You're going to have to talk to people. You're going to have to talk to people, and people are going to have to start homeschooling and growing their own food.
Can I not only back you up on that, but sure. Can I tell you that everybody needs to understand that the United States was built on a community?
Yep.
That's exactly how the United States was formed, on a community. You must destroy the community to destroy a country. After the family comes community. You hit a sterling point, Stephen. We are seeing our communities intentionally destroyed. So how do you, if you're going to really destroy or pull a society apart, you've already taken care of the family. Now you take care of the community. The community is the basis for everything. If you want to fix it, you fix it at the local level. Then you go to the state level. Then you go to the national level. You acquire the power. You acquire the voices. You acquire the people. End of freaking story. This is the way it has to be done. It has to be the community level. And it has to be supported by the family values. What are the two biggest things they're trying to destroy right now? Gee, wouldn't that be community and family, Stephen?
Yeah, it certainly would. There was a time in America's history there was 100 businesses for one worker.
Yeah, not anymore.
Nope.
All right, we're done, ain't we?
Pretty much. Yeah,
well, let me do a wrap up, and then I'd like a couple of closing words from you. Look, this has been a great discussion. Stephen has a lot to offer. This is not the last time we're going to do this. And as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the best shows we've done in a long time. Over to you, Stephen.
fear is a liar. Fear is the biggest liar. Fear of death is a lie. The biggest thing that the elite and the control system fears is you saying no and you standing up to them,
which is what we do.
Yep.
And thank you for being with us, and thank you for being somebody that helps me make this show a success. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, everybody, next week we go back to the normal platform where Roger hollers for an hour.
Until next time, folks.